This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The record-breaking rally in global stocks fades as worries rise over the extent of the economic coronavirus damage. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After markets in Asia rallied again, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index is down about 2.5% this morning. That's after the U.S. reported more cases of COVID-19 than in China or Italy. More countries around the world are looking at more restrictive travel measures. South Africa, the continent's most industrialized economy today, implemented a comprehensive, widespread lockdown. Concerns are mounting now about how the sudden economic stop will impact livelihoods all across the continent. In Kenya, 83% of all jobs are informal, meaning they're not counted in the country's official labor statistics. From Nairobi, the BBC's Priscilla Ngethe explains those living paycheck to paycheck stand to lose the most if the country goes on lockdown.
With bright green rubber gloves pulled up to her elbows, Esther Nisi washes the clothes of one of her regular clients. She's a domestic worker in Nairobi who cleans at least two houses every other day. On any other day, she would use just her bare hands. But the spread of coronavirus has forced her to make some adjustments for her client's comfort.
It has made me, I fear a lot, because I don't know whether my kids in the house will be affected or me myself, because I interact with many people when I'm going to work. I pay rent, they have to eat because they are all at home. I have to continue working.
Domestic workers like Esther barely make $100 a month. She said she's already lost a few regular clients since the government called for social distancing. Now, with a possible lockdown around the corner, she's concerned her work will stop altogether.
If things get worse, I know we will starve of hunger. We will have no money, no food. So I don't know what we are going to do from there.
Edith Morongo, founder of the Center of Domestic Training and Development, an NGO that trains and empowers domestic workers, fears that low-wage workers will be hardest hit by the social restrictions unless the government intervenes.
Normally, such women, they live from hand to mouth. At least the government should reach out with maybe food rations, donations of materials and stuff that they may need so that we limit their movement.
After a full day's work, Esther bundles into a packed bus to travel home. The cost of travel in Nairobi has recently surged to make up for the lack of passengers. Despite the government's call for distancing and isolation, people like Esther, who live from hand to mouth, may continue risking their own safety to survive.
Priscilla Ngethe reporting there. Well, across the Arabian Sea, those in India face similar difficulties. Swati Dhingra at the London School of Economics says despite stimulus measures and a government promise to support residents with food and health care, nothing is guaranteed, especially for migrant workers.
I think the biggest constraint is going to be healthcare facilities. And the second constraint is going to be, well, how do you actually manage a crisis like this where you require some level of isolation in a country which is really densely populated and where you can't afford to keep telling these people who need to get to work to be able to get some very, very basic standard of living. You can't keep telling them to sort of stay away from work as well as to not sort of venture out. So I think it's going to be really challenging for these people in terms of how much the government's done. Doesn't look like it's going to be quite enough, and state capacity is going to be really stretched on the healthcare side. I want to sort of put that in within the context of what we've seen sort of in the past few years. So the economy has already taken a hit. The two big episodes that everybody would have heard of would be India tried to reform its tax laws, and that ended up being implemented really quite poorly. And the second one was the demonetization, which took out about 80% of the cash from the economy. So people are already suffering from the consequences of those two policies. And then you put on top of that, possibly, the spread of a virus. So we're talking about serious economic slowdown and for some of the most vulnerable people in India.
Mm. And we've also seen economists who expect the global economy to mount a big comeback when this virus outbreak is over. But when we look at this in the global context, how realistic is that? Because it depends not only on life going back to normal in all of these places, but in India, for example, foreign investment returning and demand for commodities coming back to pre-crisis levels. I mean, how realistic is it that we see a big bounce back?
So in India, what you end up seeing is basically you put in two big shocks to the economy. You don't invest very much in health and infrastructure. So then what you end up with is basically people who aren't very well off to begin with, whose health is compromised already, and now you've got a third sort of big slap on their faces. I think there's also the issue that many welfare programs which existed before in India, funding for them has been slowly reduced. So we're talking about sort of welfare programs which are really sort of not in a strong position to begin with, and now we're going to put a lot more pressure on those programs.
Many more fronts emerging in this crisis. Swati Jingra, Associate Professor at the London School of Economics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coronavirus developments are moving fast and furiously. So for your daily dose of good news, I'm taking you to a Portuguese cafe in East London where co-owners Dina and Olga are doing their part to lend the community a helping hand and a hot meal.
My name is Dina Martins. I'm a co-owner of the Portuguese Love Affair on Hackney Roads. Our idea was really just to focus on people that might not be able to come out, despite the fact they are infected or not, including a warm meal. It feels good also to be able to do, in a moment like this, something for our neighbors.
How'd you get the idea?
The idea comes with humanity. As a Portuguese, with lots of Spanish and Italian friends, it's already happening there. We need to help each other and we need to stand together.
Are you fixing a certain meal every day or is it kind of made to order? Or how are you deciding what to do?
We're planning to do this maybe just one or twice a week. Some people, they can order food to collect. We also, with some other friends, working out a scheme to deliver within the neighborhoods too.
Are you making any money off of this? Because obviously your restaurant is now closed.
We'd orders from the website. But I think really our worry right now is to keep everyone safe and fed. The money we'll see later with our landlord.
Are you worried about how long you might have to stay closed?
Well, as a small business, it's obviously a big worry because, you know, East London rents are not that cheap. I also have employees and I worry for them. But, you know, I've started so many times, so I'm pretty sure we can restart again with more energy and more love.
That's Dina Martins of A Portuguese Love Affair there. I think they call that true London grit. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.